1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, this is the Phil Hendry Show. After years of exhaustive research, the Phil Hendry Show has identified a new radio format. It's not music radio, and it's not talk radio, it's sing radio. After interviewing thousands of people in focus groups across the country, the Phil Hendry Show has identified sing radio as the wave of the future. It's like talk radio, only everything is sung. And now we present Sing Radio, our newest addition to our lineup. This is going to be bigger than Sirius, bigger than XM. It's the Dr. Bob Fitzgibbons Health Show. Time to hear Dr. Bob Fitzgibbons.
Well, I'm Dr. Bob, and I'll take your calls. All you gotta do is have the balls. Give me a call on the radio, and y'all, I'll make the call. Because when it comes to your health, I really know what I'm doing. Comes to... screw it. Now let's take a call from some old bag who probably wants to break my you-know-whats. Hey, baby, how are you doing?
Dr. Fitzgibbons, it's so nice to talk to you. I woke up this morning and a blue fluid was coming from my ass. What the hell is wrong with me?
It sounds very serious. Well, I'm looking at my desk reference. It looks like you are going to die.
Holy Jesus in a nutshell. Do you know the name of a private eye?
Well, why would I want to give that to you?
Because I was in a restaurant yesterday. I saw one of the Chinamen working in the kitchen slip something in my food.
Well, obviously you need a cop. A doctor ain't gonna do squat. Oh my God, you're gonna crow woke.
You are a quack. Yes, a quack. Quack.
Blow it out your... And now another call is on the line. This is Terry. It's your dime.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Fitzgibbon. I don't feel too good. Something's on my face. I don't know what it is. I'm really scared. I think I'm going another head. Do you have the number of a specialist?
What a little baby calling me with something funky. An extra head's nothing to worry about. All you gotta do is take a little bit of this monkey extract that I happen to have in my bag. You just call my office in the morning and you talk to Doris. She's the secretary and the receptionist as well as does the books. She's the one who makes it all happen because I'm too cheap to pay a full office staff.
What a tight creep. I heard you were bad. I can't believe I called your show, but Dr. Adele is on vacation. You're the only show that talks about medication. I'm telling you right now, I've got hair on my palms, and I'm going blind. What do you think it is?
You are gay. Yes, Sing Radio, the wave of the future. Somewhere in outer space, man first contacted alien life. And it turned into Sing Radio. And now the Billy Jones Sports Show. Did you see the Trojan game the other day? Hey, they waxed the Irish on the last play. But then the Sox took it to the Angels. I guess the Angels are gonna burn in hell. Well, I got all the sport scores. Yeah! I got all the stuff you need to know. Let's talk to some of my listeners who are guys who talk like they know stuff, but they just probably bums who get thrown out in the fourth quarter from drinking too much beer. Guys that'll hang around their car waiting to see if they can get back in, try to bum rush the gate. It ain't gonna work. Next thing you know, you're in the police precinct under the stadium where they'll beat you up with police truncheons and mace, and no one gives a... You're on the air. What do you think?
I didn't like it when the Irish lost. I think the ref is on the take. I think the ref blew the whole game. And also, I think if the Lakers could trade for a guy or someone who can play the game, how's about the NHL?
Ah, heck, who cares? They can all burn in Hades.
Well, thanks a lot. Your show's really cool. I never miss it. I'll even ditch school.
Let's take a call from another jackball who calls every night and changes his name. Hey, Spodio, you're on the air. Last night your name was something like Fred.
Hey, what's up? Hey, how's it hanging? Thanks for the vine. I really think Pete Carroll is a woman in a man's slacks. I hate the Trojans, and that ain't no crap.
How's about the Sox? And how's about the Astros? What's about the Cardinals? How do you feel about it, bro?
Baseball's boring ever since the strike. I don't care. Hey, wait a minute. Aren't I the same guy that called two calls ago, but now it's a different name?
That's right. You're just a friend of mine keeping the lines blinking. Well, you see what we mean. With Sing Radio, your radio station can be number one within years. Call our qualified staff now to get Sing Radio on your radio station. And if you're just a regular listener, you can have it in your car via satellite, transmitted from Mount Olympus, somewhere near the Greek gods, wherever the hell they are. The whole thing is a real psychotic trip. The cat playing zither here, by the way, is my brother. Woo! Go, Charlie. Sing Radio. It's time for the news, brought to you by Kellogg's Corn Flakes. Here's Bill Zunderman. The United States proposed today in the UN that they get their brown skins out of New York City. Here is our reporter.
Today, the UN said they want to vacate New York because they're not getting their parking tickets paid for. There's no more kickback.
In other news, it turns out that we're all queer. Doctors have discovered a gene that makes us all homoerotic. So basically, we all share the same orientation. Here's Jim now with the stocks.
The Pacific Stock Exchange closed on a high, and Wall Street did the same. I really hope you've got GM stock.
And now, here's the weather with Tommy. It's cloudy and rainy. The sun will never come out. The snow is falling softly. My dog just got out. The rain's hitting my head as I wander the streets alone. Yes, she left me last night. And now I have to stagger to the TV station and do this ridiculous weather report. Somewhere out in the city is the woman that I love. And I have to tell you about high-pressure fronts. Oh, God, it's futile, it's useless. This is Randy Cardoon at the KNX News Center. Sing Radio, the wave of the future. Thank you for visiting Disney World. Please exit to your left. Exit to your left. Exit to your left.
You know where I can get the mouse ears?
Yes, sir, in the shop outside, okay?
All right. That was really a great exhibit.
Yeah.
Orlando, Florida. It's not Mayberry anymore. Oh, I'm sorry.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, now our flashback request of the day. And this comes to us from Kelsey. And Kelsey writes, "Dear Phil, will you play the Doug Danger bit?" Doug is our gay man and gay journalist. It's a bit where he contended that he would make a better combat reporter in Iraq because... better than straight guys, because he doesn't have a wife and kids to worry about, and, quote, he'll get on the front lines between the troops and the insurgents as the insurgents' face is being torn apart by a 30-caliber bullet. Wasn't his point that he could see, because he's got gay eye, he could see whether they're really angry at each other? What was his point? I forget. But anyway, Kelsey writes, "Thanks for the entertainment, Phil. Keep up the Herb Sewell bits." All right, brother, here it is. This is by request, Doug Danger on the front lines in Iraq.
Hi. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this your caller said that he's only been out of the closet a year.
Ma'am. I've been out since last summer.
Well, I don't know how you've had enough time to have experienced the gay lifestyle if you've only been out of the closet a year.
Well, look, I'm gay.
Number one. Are
you gay?
No, I'm not
all
gay.
Right.
But
well, I don't
let me
see how you could talk with any authority on it, so...
Well, I'll tell you how I can. I work in the fashion industry.
Well, you're not gay, so you can't.
I work in the fashion industry. I work with a lot of gay people. They're as wonderful and as varied.
Are you saying there's gay people in the fashion industry?
They are as varied as any other people that you'll meet. There are those who want to be heroic.
You're racially profiling.
I'm not profiling anything.
Yes, you are. You're saying,
but I think
fags work in the dress design business.
First of all, I don't call people
names. You use the word fag, Doug.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I think that all you want to do is be on the radio and making that point. And I also think that you're being extremely disrespectful to people who have been over there working in their jobs and been killed, the families of those people who have been killed overseas.
I'm not talking about soldiers.
I'm talking about journalists. I'm talking about journalists. Journalists who've given their life out there. You haven't spent one day over there.
What journalists have given their lives?
Any of them given their lives?
Well, give me a name.
Daniel Pearl.
Daniel Pearl was in Pakistan talking to Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about
He was in a military conflict. He was out in a military situation, in a terrorist situation.
But he was gay.
And let me ask you something.
Are you a cameraman? I'm not a cameraman. No, ma'am. I'm an old-school, hard-nosed reporter. I'm going to be firing dispatches back.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
Firing dispatches back from the front.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
15-year journalist. See, you're telling me about my business, and then you're also telling me about my sexual orientation. I don't know what your qualifications are, other than the fact that you've been around a lot of queens prissing around in a chamomile robe or something.
How can you be so disgusting? I don't use that type of terminology.
No, but you're saying you know all about my sexual orientation.
No,
and
I'm
my
not
job
saying I know anything.
Because
I'm not saying
show,
I know anything about it.
Because
but
you're the
I am
seamstress
saying,
for a talent for a for
no,
a fashion
no,
show.
No.
Well, look at Doug.
Saying,
don't condescend to the caller.
Excuse me. I'm saying that you've only been living in an acknowledged gay lifestyle for a year. I don't think that gives you
I'm gay.
To talk about what you can accomplish. I don't think that gives you the...
You're not gay at all. I don't think that gives you it. Other than the fact that you sew buttons on shirts for some gay designer, doesn't mean that, you know, is James Bond gay? No. James Bond isn't gay. I could be...
I think that you'd better take a few steps
James
in the
Bond.
Footsteps of people who've been in war sites and actually
I'm
been still, there before
the reasons,
you make statements like you're making.
Look, I'm a gay
and
man and a gay journalist. I can be stealthy.
I think that any part of the media that would send you over with an attitude like you have is disgraceful.
Ma'am, I don't see what's wrong with my attitude. I'm proposing to give you what you're not getting, which is hard-nosed reporting from the front in Iraq.
Well,
I'm going to get right up into an insurgent's nest and watch as the bullets sear through their faces, through the back of their heads, and into another guy's face.
On the radio, making statements like that.
Doug, you're being a little graphic.
Here we go. Look, the American people want this kind of... They want to know the damage the Marines are doing. They want to know the successes of our soldiers, and we're not getting that news. We're getting a lot of little Red Riding Hoods and little Mary Jane over there. These guys want to get back home to their old lady and go out to the, you know, five and dime and just have a regular life. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to watch as Marines pump shot after shot. Well, because I'm looking at the reporting.
How can you be so disrespectful?
I'm a journalist. I'm gay.
Doug, that's what he wanted to do. He's not getting the real good graphic stuff, but as a journalist, he's going to watch the bullet go right into the guy's head. Aye, aye, aye. All right, that's Doug Danger. He's a gay man and a gay journalist on the Phil Henry Show. You know, speaking of Iraq, I was in a bookstore today, and I was seeing all kinds. There's a lot of books out about Iraq. And you guys know I talk a lot about history, and I read a ton of history. It's my favorite stuff. I mean, it's just I don't know. Maybe the reason why I like it is it's true. I got a thing, you know, about stuff that happened. But anyway, one thing I know, and this is kind of an important thing. It's an opinion, and you don't have to take it, but I believe that this is true. The truth about any historical event, it really takes about at least 10 years for it to really kind of marinate in the culture. And for all of the politicizing of the event to be stripped away so that the real work that historians do, which is to look at what's the narrative of this man? I mean, what was the actual thing that happened? And then you report on the commentary, like you can say, well, this happened and here was this opinion about it and here was this opinion about it. But historians don't draw a political conclusion themselves, see? They report on the event because the thing they really want to know is what happened. So I would just tell you, don't read. If you want to read about what's happening in Iraq, read as many different journalists as you can. And I mean journalists, not opinion pieces, report pieces. And there's a difference. Reporters. And there's a lot of different newspapers and there's all kinds of editorial policies. But you got to read, the reporting and read a lot of it. If you're reading one newspaper, you're going to one website, man, you don't know what time it is out on the street, you know. So don't do that, and don't even start reading books about Iraq. Don't even do it. I don't care if it's written by a soldier. Honest to God, I don't. Like, I just saw a book out, because this guy wants to do a Black Hawk Down, you know. Some guy wrote a book about Fallujah. Well, you know, okay, that's fine. You know, Fallujah's like 3 minutes ago, man. Could you mind if we kind of just strip away all the politics from it and sort of check it? This dude wants to get his Black Hawk Down going, man. So he's got what happened in there that day? You know, take a freaking chill on that, man. You know, Ridley Scott will get around to you. Don't worry. So that's all I would say to you. And then I was in Barnes & Noble today, and really I was just in there on my cell phone talking with my hands shoved in the pockets of my leather jacket, trying to look intellectual. And, you know, thumbing, and then of course I blew it because I was thumbing through like Beavis and Butthead books, and it just, the whole effect was just shot. God, I'm depressed.
You want to go?
No, I don't care.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you this, because it's kind of interesting. I mentioned that occasionally I stay at a little shack up here, just up the coast on the, it's not on the beach. It's about I have to qualify it. I don't want you to think I'm living on the beach, lest you think that I'm wealthy. I am, I am wealthy. Far, far, far wealthier than you can possibly... No, I'm not. It's a house that we got, and it's a block and a half off the sand. It's a simple little place. In any event, I happen to be fortunate because it's a nice beach. It's a really beautiful beach, and the neighborhood cares about it. And we've got a fair number of surfers that live on our beach, and the reason for this is because it's a good place to surf. Now, it was pretty funny. The other day I was sitting there and I was having my coffee. I looked out the window because I can see the ocean. And it was an enormous surf. There was enormous sets of waves that were coming in. And it's funny to watch these surfers. I don't know what they're doing. But all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, I got it, you know. And you see guys running down the street, putting their wetsuits half on, you know, a board on their head. You just see I look out, I go, Jesus, look at those freaking waves, man. Those things are huge. I mean, they were they look big to me, but they're probably about 4 or 5 feet high. Or as the surfers say, 4 or 5 foot. About 5 foot. Because you can hear them down there. Hey, man, what's it doing, man? It's about 5 foot. It's a little sloppy, though. Kind of mushy. Yeah? There's always the one guy you can't hear. You hear the one guy, but you can't hear the other guy. And the other guy the guy you can't hear is further away. You know, what was that? What did you say, man? And the guy goes, yeah, probably about 3 foot, about 5 second intervals. No, it's still anything. I don't know. She left yesterday. What? So, here they come. But, you know, I don't care. The guys could be in the middle of a root canal and suddenly, wait a minute, here they go. Wetsuit half on, running down there. And I look out the window and I see there's like a strip of sand and I see these beautiful blue waves. And when they hit the sand, you know, there's that foam goes way up in the air. So you're going, okay, that's a pretty powerful surf out there. And you see these surfers jumping around with their boards like they don't know what to do. I don't know. What the hell do you think? Well, I don't know. You can try it if you want, but it's kind of sloppy out there. It's a hell of a street, you know. But I just love that street in the fact that no one uses a phone. There's no telephone use there. It's just, and yesterday, and I can't tell you the last time that this has happened to me, and it used to happen to me a lot, but I forget what I was doing, but it was over the weekend. I heard this on my front door, right? What the hell is that, you know? And I'm kind of grumpy. I'm just coming down there with no shirt on. I got the jeans, you know, the gut hanging out, you know, a couple of tats going on, you know, and the kids probably, I opened it, it's a Boy Scout. Would you like to buy some popcorn, sir? I thought it was, I could have sworn it was one of my neighbors drunk. That's the way it sounded, just, and it's usually followed with, hey, Phil, hey, you got a pilot? What? What did you say, man?
I did a pilot.
I can't hear you. It's a Boy Scout, nice kid. Excuse me. I said, yeah, man, I'll buy some popcorn from you. You got any of that candy corn stuff? Well, you mean like Cracker Jacks? Yeah. What a gay blade. And he got some for me. But it's cool. But like I said, these guys are going to have to learn how to communicate. Our number here on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-4... You know, actually keep yelling. I like it. 1-800-449-8686. Our email is our email actually is phs@philhenryshow.com. You're more than welcome to. Do we have some? Michelle pulls the email, and I said to her that I need to just sort of, I want to, you know, she's always pulling me the ideas that people have for bits, and I just don't think those are interesting to read to the listeners. I don't think the listeners want to know what other listeners think would be a funny bit to do. I don't mind reading them. In fact, I like reading them, but I would much rather just read your thoughts and feelings. Like, for instance, this is from Hauke Heinrenheim. Are you kidding with that name, dude? The Haukenehrenheim. Is that, are you, am I, did you? Anyway, he says, Phil, IED stands for improvised explosive device. That's what that thing that blew up the other day on the, when I was talking about the video the guy sent me. Here's a one from some listener who says, Phil, here's what ARPANET means. Yesterday I was talking about, you know, the internet was invented by Americans. And at one time it was called ARPANET. The global internet's progenitor was the Advanced Research Projects Agency Network. It was run by, actually, he says here, the U.S. Department of Defense, and it was also the U.S. Department of Commerce. He says, you make me laugh so much I cry. You're well worth the $5 a month I pay on the internet. Well, you cheap creep, it's $6.95. And this is one says, if Vernon Dozier ever has a blog on your webpage, then the picture you should go along with it is of Wyatt Earp on account of the handlebar mustache and all. Right on. And this is from a cat named Bruce. What is this, man? I don't know. Thanks a lot, Michelle. Here it is. The picture of Bud. Bud, do you think this looks like you?
It don't look like me at all. That looks like a woman.
Yep. This is some dude who thinks this is a picture of Bud. All right, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for nothing. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, we were talking about computers. I remember the very first Apple computer commercial. Now, people will tell you, yes, that was the one where the girl ran in the room and she had the hammer. By hammer, I mean it was from the Olympics. You know that hammer? Do they even do the hammer in the Olympics? You know, you're swinging something and you throw it. And I had no idea. My friend DJ, he taught himself DOS language and how to program on a Texas Instruments, and this is like way back in 83 or 82. He had this Texas Instruments, and it had a cassette tape. And I'd see this guy screwing around on it. I'd go, what are you doing, man? Oh, it's a computer, man. Well, I know it's a computer, and I mean, I've seen them in, like, store, in off, you know, like the girl in the personnel department will hit keys, and there's a green letters come up. And, for instance, you know how dated the movie Alien looks now when you see the computer in Alien? It's like that DOS language crap. So, anyway, he had this thing, and he had a cassette tape, and I wanted no part of it. I wanted no part of any of it. It was frightening. And then came the Super Bowl of 84, was the Raiders and Skins. I got that game on tape, and I got that Apple computer, because they kept saying, coming Super Bowl Sunday, something's going to happen that's going to turn you into a werewolf. You know, it's just biochemically, you'll be altered. And here comes their commercial. So I guess what that was an ad for was the first Apple home computers that were floppy disk, I guess. And then after that, the big freaking news that I remember was Windows 95. Do you remember when Windows 95 came out? I was in Miami, and I remember my producer, Andy Kalb, who's now at ABC working for, major news anchors and wearing a suit. And by the way, Andy, you got a great wife and your family's wonderful, but boy, is your forehead getting big. Hey, dude, I thought I'd just give you a little bit of the heat that I've been getting for a lot of years myself. He's still a young cat, but he's starting to get that kind of Jack Nicholson thing that, woo! Anyway, he's all jumping around, jazzed, flipping out. I go, what is with you, man? Windows 95, baby, it's happening. Oh, yeah, tonight at midnight. I go, what's that? I remember some guy taught us how to use it up in Minneapolis. This is a fantastic system. It's point and click. All you have to do is go here, do that. I said to my wife, screw it, I'll teach. We can learn how to do it. And we wound up just playing solitaire on it and never using it for anything else because I don't know how to. My kids would go, well, here, watch. Next thing you know, I got outer space. They're talking to they're talking to some cat on another planet. And I'm screwing around with hearts? Come on. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, enjoying your program tonight. I was wondering if you know anything about something that I heard last night on the George Norrie show, and it's called Bohemian Grove. You know anything about that, or have you been talked to about it?
No, I haven't. What is that?
Okay, it's pretty intense. First of all, apparently George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld both belong to it, and they meet in a forest, and apparently there's a bonfire every year, and there are some other tribal rites, okay?
Wait, hold on for just a second, man, all right?
Hold the elevator. What?
What do you mean it's in a forest and they burn stuff?
Yeah, this guy was on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, and he said that Bush and Rumsfeld belong to it, and it's got some secret rites.
Well, is that Bohemian Club?
No, that's different. This is, they meet in a forest, is what I'm saying. And
well, wait a minute, man. What do you mean they meet in a forest? The President of the United States.
Yeah, that was what the guy was saying.
The President of the United States and the Department of Defense Secretary go to a forest?
Once a year, yeah. In Northern California, they'll go into a forested area deep in the thicket. And
will you get out of here, man?
No, man,
yeah, that's right, man. Deep into a thicket they go. Bush and Rumsfeld. Wow. George's a great cat, man. Good man. Good guy. And some of the most beautiful women. I'm just screwing around because somebody mentioned that to him. I you know, every now and again I'll hear a tape of George's show, and this is what I'm going to hear. Oh, you're on the George Norrie. Okay.
George?
Yes?
Phil Hendry says you get some real pieces of tail coming to your...
And then I'm embarrassed. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I saw this thing today in the news, and it said that, yeah, here it is. Remember when we were talking right after Hurricane Katrina that the Red Cross, there was something, you know, something didn't smell quite right about them. There was something about the Red Cross that had the faint odor of bad cream, bad clam dip. Just, what are you guys doing down there? I remember that guy, that lady that called us. I saw the Red Cross van and we tried to get, and they were like leaving. There's a news story now. Guess what? Red Cross, everybody thinks you suck. How do you like that, baby? Woohoo! We said it. I ain't saying we were the first. I told those guys, man, I got an email from a friend of mine, and I forwarded, you know, I said to him, you know what, I ain't giving you guys any more money, because there's something about you that gives me the creeps. I don't know what it is. I know you do great work. I'm sure I can get 150 billion people to come up here and say, Red Cross saved me, my wife carved it off, they sewed it back on, free of charge, and they did it all in a mobile van in the comfort of my living room. I don't know. But all I know is this. All that stuff was going on down there. See, here's the thing. It's kind of hard to knock a charity when it's a charity. Is the Red Cross a charity? Yeah, it's hard to knock a charity. Well, I don't know. Do you got to pay for their stuff?
I think you got to pay for any dental work.
Oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about, dental work. It says here, when the Americans stepped up to help victims of Hurricane Katrina and Rita... most wrote the check to the American Red Cross. But according to this Yahoo News Service, the nation's largest disaster relief organization, which is it's Red Cross. I'm sure Yahoo is the largest disaster relief organization. Boy, they're really expanding. They're really kind of stretching out. We really want to get out of we want to, you know, consolidate in the internet, and we want to get into disaster relief because there is big money to be made. The nation's largest disaster relief organization received more than 70% of the 1.7 billion Americans have donated. 1.2 is poured into the Red Cross. They sent 172 volunteers to run shelters, feed evacuees, and give money to families. It opened 1,500 shelters. This weekend, it was still housing 7,139 people. But with visibility has come scrutiny and some criticism. In Mississippi and Louisiana, people have complained that the organization is hampered by regulations, unreachable by phone, absent from hard-hit tiny towns along the Gulf Coast. In the world of nonprofit organizations where Red Cross fundraising is considered extraordinary, other agencies want it to commit some of its money to longer-term rebuilding of the devastated region or share the wealth. And other people just think they blow. I'm in the third category because, as far as I'm concerned, when everything was breaking loose down there, where were those guys? I'm telling you right now, they got enough money. They could have had a big private hospital plane with a suite of rooms, you know, where you can go and kick, just whatever. If I was the Red Cross, I would build a plane so big that I could just fly and land and put all of the homeless in it, and they'd be eating nothing but filet mignon for weeks. That's how much bread they got. That's how much bread they've got. They got enough bread to build a plane big enough to fly all the evacuees to a large gated compound that they have already set up where you live in your own private condominium and eat thick steaks and drink Heineken beer for weeks. Hey, man, that's how much bread the Red Cross has got, and yet they're not doing it. They ain't spending it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they got some fat cats at the top that are skimming some of the cream. I think it's a whole United Way thing all over again. I think they got some fat boys with big red noses flying first class, and it ain't Santa Claus. I ain't kidding you, man. The Red Cross has got that kind of jack. And until we find out why, they have not purchased the land and built entire condominium complexes for the homeless where they are served room service, thick steak, asparagus, baked potato with your choice, bacon bits or sour cream, and ice cold freaking Heineken, man. My jaws are tight.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.